The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to another day on the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Yesterday, I spoke about this to an extent beyond imaginable, about Herschel Walker and the whole dilemma with him and his son and his run for the Senate seat in the state of Georgia. You know, why, Brandon, do you feel like that this is important? Because I'm a father. And in this country, according to the way we look at people and race, I'm a black man. And then also, when you look at the political position that Herschel Walker's in, he's a conservative. So as a father, as a black conservative, this is very interesting, and I believe I have some insight. I'm going to finish it, though, or I say I'm just going to give a short, brief synopsis of it, and then we're going to move to something else. I ain't going to talk about this all day. But I know a lot of people are wondering, and a lot of people have said this to me even yesterday. Will Herschel Walker be able to fare after what was said the other day? Will he be able to finish strong in the race? And there's a compelling argument that a lot of people may be thinking this is a takedown, knockdown, drag out against Herschel Walker. But if you look at history, people have done much worse and still fared better. Let's start with five major reasons why Herschel Walker could still overcome this. Now, I'm not saying these are set in stone 100%. These are going to be reasons that are effectively going to take place, and we're going to see the results of them. I don't know, but I'm just going to give things to think about. The first one is the distrust of the liberal media. People have already turned themselves off to the media. They don't want to hear what the media has to say. And even when you look at what Herschel Walker has been accused of doing and some of those things that he actually did and verified that he did, people don't want to listen to the media explain it. And even if the media explains it, they don't trust what the media is saying. So the distrust for the media is at an all-time high. And I believe that the ploy to destroy him and not be fair and balanced about their articulation of who's a better candidate is going to hurt the media and not hurt Herschel Walker. Also, I know that you guys are old enough to remember this guy that was in the Oval Office literally doing X-rated stuff, Mr. Bill Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton was accused of various sex misconduct allegations, and he also was guilty of multiple instances of adultery. This man is in the White House, married, on the people's dime, taking a young intern in and doing all kinds of stuff. We only know what he got caught and what she said that he did. Who knows if he had been doing this before with other people in a similar or more exaggerated manner. But nonetheless, this fool was in the Oval Office cheating on his wife in front of the world. And he still did not lose, or at least people still believe in him, and his ratings did not go by the wayside. He still had another opportunity at it. Donald Trump. I know a lot of people don't like me saying this, but Donald Trump was grabbing him by the nookie wookie. And he even said he did it on a private conversation with another individual on the Access Hollywood tapes, is what they call it. I mean, Donald Trump has been openly involved, or people were made aware that he was cheating on his wife, one of his wives. And, you know, he still survived. I mean, people still love Trump. You know, when he came, they came out with all this stuff, all these allegations. He still came through. People wanted to vote for him more. You know, same thing with now. I mean, I vote for Trump again. What he do in his own personal bedroom ain't got nothing to do with me, or the things that he's done in the past. It doesn't seem like he's still doing the same thing, so I'm a little more forgiving. That there's the closeness of the Senate and the Georgia role and the Democrat control of the Senate race in Georgia's, being controlled by Democrats. And when you look at it, you think people are saying, okay, what are we evaluating here? Are we evaluating specifically this man's character, which we're willing to throw our whole country away just because his son came out and said some negative derogatory things about him, which are disgusting, not disgusting that he said it, but disgusting if it was a reality and it actually happened. But what are you going to vote for? You're going to not vote for him and you're going to vote for the Democrat? You're going to vote for Warnock? And Warnock is my fifth one. Because a lot of people may not remember Warnock. You know, he takes an incredibly polarizing stance on abortion. He wants abortion to be legal all the way to term. And it says with the bill that he voted for going beyond what they call it, fetal viability, the standard set for Roe v. Wade as revised by 1992 Casey versus Planned Parenthood, both overturned by the Supreme Court earlier this year. And it says many anti-abortion voters who would be most concerned about the allegations against Walker might therefore view voting for Warnock as making them more complicated or complicit in abortions. Anti-abortion groups have been working to appeal to men and women who have been involved in abortions themselves and may have regretted it. But when you look at Warnock's involvement, not only his political stance, his potential reign in the United States Senate as a complete socialist nut job. And so these are your options. You go with him or you go with Herschel Walker. And I think a lot of people may still actually pick Herschel Walker despite some of the things that were said against him. And I'll say this, man, he who is without sin cast the first stone. What do you mean, Mr. Tatum? I'm not telling you to be exactly like Jesus. But what I'm telling you is that a lot of people can look in the mirror and many people that's voting got more than one baby mama. I mean, you listening to one right here on the radio. I had a relationship in college. We were engaged, didn't work out. My son is 12 now. And then I got remarried and now we got little Bo. So I got my baby Caden and Bo. But they're from two different women. Now am I going to judge? Can I just keep it real with y'all for a second? Am I going to really judge Herschel? Now, the domestic violence thing is a little different, but Herschel Walker having four kids by four different women. Am I really going to come out against him when I got two kids by two different women? I'm just being honest. And everybody that's honest, that's willing to keep it 100, some of y'all know that if the roles, if you had, your luck had run out a couple times, you would have more kids than you have now. You just so happened to do something you wasn't supposed to be doing, and you just got lucky. Now, I'm not saying it's luck specifically or bad luck that you have more than one kid or multiple kids, because at the end of the day, if you don't want to be, you don't want to have kids, you shouldn't be bumping and grinding, pumping and sweating. But all of us know that we're one step away from making really bad mistakes. I think some people will know that have been in situations where you were in a tumultuous relationship with a woman who was absolutely out of her mind, that you know that you are one step away from being involved in a domestic violence dispute. You probably wanted to, but you got enough common sense to know that you're not going to put your hands on somebody without spending the rest of your life, or spending a long period of time in jail and ruining your reputation and your kids look at you crazy. Now you're a DV person. And you were smart enough not to take that, but you were this close, if you want to keep it real. So I'm just saying, people can forgive, and I hope that people be smart enough to say, well, who you got to vote for, Warnock or Herschel Walker? Okay, vote for Herschel and critique him on his issues later, because you cannot have a socialist, a progressive idiot in the Senate pushing abortion, pushing LGBTQ, pedophilia, and all this other stuff. But I want to switch gears real quick because I believe that this is a very important update. St. Louis man convicted in David Dorn's murder, sentenced to life in prison without parole. That is a victory for America, if you ask me. Dummy McDummy Dummy, 26 years old, was sentenced to life in prison without parole for the murder of St. Louis police captain David Dorn after a Missouri jury convicted him on July, according to the reports. This idiot was convicted for shooting and killing David Dorn during a night of looting, a.k.a. Black Lives Matter riots, and rioting in June of 2020 in the wake of the death of George Floyd in Minnesota. Dorn was 77 years old, was responding to a burglary alert at a friend's pawn shop when he encountered a group of looters. He was struck four times and died from his injury. Dorn and four officers were struck by bullets, while other officers were pelted with rocks, so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a guest coming up in the next segment you don't want to miss. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I have a special guest coming on. It's Emerson Collins. He's a project manager for Bringing Your Bible to School Day at Focus on the Family. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Emerson before I bring him on to the show. Bring Your Bible to School Day is an annual event that takes place on the first Thursday of October each year. Emerson Collins is the project manager, like I said before, for the Bring Your Bible Back to School or Bring Your Bible to School Day and Live It Challenges or Live. Live It Challenges at Focus on the Family. He lives in Colorado Springs, where he enjoys camping, hiking, and bringing his Bible with him everywhere he goes. And if he's not outside or with his friends, you might find him serving his local church in their pastoral residency program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show, Emerson Collins. Emerson, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Sorry, I can't read half the time, but I want to welcome you here. And could you please explain to the people the significance of this particular event, annual event of encouraging young people or people in general to bring their Bibles to school?
Yeah, Brandon, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, the reason why it's so important that you bring your Bible to school is because the Bible is so important. God's word is so important. It doesn't take very long for you to look around and see the darkness in our world and in our culture and the sin that is so prevalent around us. And how do we fight that sin? Well, the Bible is our sword. The Bible is our weapon. And we are like warriors. And how we should not be warriors in a battle zone, in a war zone, without our weapons to fight the enemy. And so God's word is our weapon against the forces of darkness. And not only that, it is also a source of light itself. And you bring the words of God with you into your school places, into your areas of education, so that that light can shine. God's truth can shine in those areas where we desperately need it.
I think that's incredibly important and wonderful that you guys are doing this, because after they've taken prayer out of school, they discourage children to believe in their faith or have faith in God, or at least determine whether they're a Christian or not, right? They want them to be ambiguous about their faith. So young people bringing their Bibles to school is an incredible, incredible endeavor. What else do you think is – I mean, let me ask you this, Emerson. Do you get pushback? I mean, are young people coming to you and saying, hey, I want to bring my Bible to school, but they're refusing to allow me to bring my Bible to school. I mean, what's the recourse for that? And are you getting complaints about that happening often?
Yeah, we definitely get pushback. Every single year there's pushback. And we definitely had some pushback this year from teachers, from principals even, telling students they cannot participate in the day. And I'm here to tell those students or those parents that are worried that this is 100% legal. We are protected under the Constitution, under our First Amendment right to go and to share our religious views, even in our spaces of education. And so we have a team that is ready to work for you and with you. If you face this type of resistance, on our page, bringyourbible.org, you can go to the Student Rights tab. And then at the very bottom, there's a team called the Alliance Defending Freedom that is ready to work with you and for you so you can participate in this day and go share the good news of Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emerson Collins, he's the project manager for Bring Your Bible to School Day at Focus on the Family. Emerson, are you finding that Christians nowadays are a little more lethargic and may not be as involved as we should be? Are you seeing a downtick? Is this one of the reasons why we want to encourage the young people, the next generation of young people, to start to put God first and be bold and courageous in their endeavors, especially when expressing their faith in the Lord?
Yeah, we have to become more bold. And the crazy thing is, you know, with our culture being the way it is right now, being so bold and these things that are just so against what God has set up, it's honestly bringing out Christians to be more bold in our faith and in what we believe and really what we stand on in the truth of Scripture. And so we see true Christians coming out and standing on the Word of God and on the truth that God has spoken in them and truly living them out. And so the encouragement here, as you said it, Brandon, is to encourage our children and our students and to be an example to them as their parents, as their mentors, for what it looks like to be a bold witness for the faith. Step out in boldness. John Cooper, the lead singer of Skillet, he has a quote from his broadcast that he did with us recently where he says, the world is not afraid to share what they believe. We should not be afraid to share the words of life.
Amen. Amen. That is a beautiful statement. I'm going to ask you a personal question, Emerson. What is your favorite translation of the Bible? You know, is it ESV, NIV, is it King James? What's your favorite translation?
Personally, my favorite translation is the ESV. There's a joke going around in my inner circle. It's called the Extra Spiritual Version. But I enjoy it quite a lot. I think they did a great job in their translation, and I love their study Bibles as well.
Right, that's awesome, you know, and I don't want to be polarizing at all, and I'm gonna test this to my own opinion, but when I did a lot of research on the Bible translations, I found that the ESV was probably one of the Bibles that were most accurate without paraphrasing and some other biblical accuracies that they did a tremendously good job with, especially with more in depth, I guess, manuscripts, not in-depth manuscripts, but more variety of manuscripts that were discovered after the King James Bible. So I think it's, I have to say that you and I are congruent on that factor of having a favorite Bible. But, I grew up on reading all of them. You know, my first church that I went to, we used to read the King James. You know, it was like a foreign language to me when I first started reading it. But, it's beautiful that we have a variety of different expressions of Bibles. And do you use a Bible app, or you old school? You have a physical Bible that you carry around?
Oh, I'm definitely old school. And I actually encourage everyone that wants to participate in the day to carry around a physical Bible, because you carrying around your phone doesn't really send a message, but you carrying the physical Bible in your hand is telling everyone around you at your school that I am unashamedly a follower of Jesus.
Awesome. Emerson, is there somewhere that, you would encourage or like a certain thing that you guys do to help individuals get Bibles? Just say you're a young guy, you're a young girl, and you want to participate, but you're like, hey, where do I get a Bible at? Where can I find a Bible? You know, do you guys have like a pipeline for people to go through and order a Bible so they can have it present with them to participate?
Yeah, definitely. So first thing I would do if I were you would be to talk to your local church. I'm sure they've got Bibles that they would love to connect you with immediately, so you don't have to wait. Especially with the event being tomorrow. But if you still want a Bible, you can go to our website, bringyourbible.org. We've got various resources there for you. We also have conversation guides for how you can talk to your friends on the day. But if you're looking specifically for a Bible, you can go to our Focus on the Family store page where you can interact with Adventures and Odyssey content. We've got Bibles for all.
Awesome. Emerson, I got to go to the break. Emerson, thank you so much for coming on. Y'all bring y'all Bible to school. Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me get back to David Dorn, because this was a situation that kind of hit close to home with me, given the fact that I'm a former police officer. And I saw the video of David Dorn, his last breath. I saw the video. People played it online. If you ask me, watching David Dorn breathe his last breath was a lot more traumatic, in my opinion, than George Floyd. Yet nobody cared except conservatives about David Dorn. Let me finish the article that I was expressing to you guys before. And it says, Dorn and four officers were struck by bullets while other officers were pelted with rocks and fireworks, and 55 businesses were burglarized and damaged across St. Louis during this protest. And it says protest. They should say terrorist attack, or they should call it a riot. You know, Black Lives Matter enthusiasts at the time, especially during 2020, in my opinion, were thugs and domestic terrorists. And why do you say domestic terrorists, Brandon? Go look up the definition of domestic terrorists. Go look up the definition of terrorism. Terrorism is when you have a political agenda and you use threats and use force and violence and even killing people in order to push your political agenda. And if you are homegrown, you're right here in the United States of America, you're considered to be domestic. So Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, as an organization, what they push, what they advocated for is domestic terrorism. And, you know, when you look at, you know, what we've seen through all of these situations, it's been incredibly disappointing. The gentleman, which I will not name, he was convicted of first degree murder, first degree robbery, first degree burglary, and stealing $750 or more, unlawful possession of a firearm, and three counts of armed criminal action, all felonies. And with that being said, he had to spend the rest of his life in prison. And I think that that's the least that they could do to him. I wish they would have gave him a chair, because he killed a good man over a television. What does stealing a television and killing another black man, how does that benefit anybody? And how is that a representation of what happened to George Floyd? It's not. And many things that they do never will. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. It's so funny. I'm looking at Fox News simultaneously while I'm doing this, and I'm actually watching on Fox. They're talking about on March the 2nd in 2020, Warnock and his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or whatever she was, and she's explaining how he ran over her foot in this bit of rage and domestic violence. And you know, the sad thing is that both of these men are being accused of or have been involved in some level of domestic violence, and they both happen to be black men. It's very unfortunate that two black men running for Senate has a lot of, you know, seem to have a little bit of baggage going on. But I tell you what, if you got to pick one baggage over the other baggage, ain't no way in the world you'd let these Democrats win. I want to play a clip from Stephen A. Smith. He was on, I think, Jesse Waters, which, let me just say this, and I'm not trying to be funny, nothing, but Jesse Waters is probably my favorite on Fox. I think he's one of my favorites. Let me not say he is my favorite, because I don't want nobody to get mad, but he's one of my favorites. I really enjoy the way he just come after people and he tell it like it is, and he's always quick and to the point, and he's very smart. I mean, that guy is on it, man. He's one of my favorites on the Fox News channel. But he was conducting an interview with Stephen A. Smith. And you guys don't know who Stephen A. Smith is. He's like a commentator in sports. He's heavily opinionated. The guy has so much passion for what he does. I just think he's off a lot. You know, when it comes to race relations, it's like, I think he know better, but to stay congruent with the culture, Stephen A. Smith have to agree with things that are completely asinine. But I want to play this clip of that interview, because I thought it was pretty shocking that Stephen A. Smith would agree with many conservative principles, given the things he's said over the years. Wrote a clip.
A lot of people have been talking badly about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you're with her or against her, but this is what your boy Bill Maher said about her possibly getting dumped by Joe. Listen.
It's very hard to take the nomination away from the president.
Sitting
president. And what I could see is replacing the vice president, because... Yeah, she's just not very popular anywhere, and it didn't seem to work out, and I don't know, that's been done before on a ticket. I just think she's a bad politician, and I think she's a very bright person.
She's bad. Do you think she's bad?
I'm not going to go that far. I will say this to you. I think we got to remember the words that he said. He said she wasn't a great politician. He also acknowledged that she's very smart and he believes she's capable, but she's just not doing a great job as a politician. I, believe it or not, I think that she's a highly intelligent woman that unfortunately doesn't have an opportunity to showcase her intelligence.
Really? She's got the second biggest job in the country. Well, she hasn't had the opportunity.
Can I address that?
Please.
When you work for an administration,
yeah,
and you've alluded to other people running the administration,
yes,
and you have all of these people literally telling you, trying to tell you at the very least, what to do, that's problematic.
So you're saying it's Joe Biden's fault she's a bad vice president?
No. Ultimately, it comes down to her. I can't absolve her from accountability. You asked for that seat. You're in that seat. I think she needs to do a better job. There's no question about it. Because a lot of times I'm looking at Kamala Harris and I'm just saying, you are a highly intelligent and accomplished woman. Will you tell us what you truly, truly think instead of giggling all the daggone time every time somebody asks you a question?
And I want to hear, it's another clip that he plays where Jesse Waters is talking about the crime. And I think this is even more of a compelling case that he was at least keeping it real with Jesse about the crime that's going on around the country. Wrote that clip.
So you're in charge. We're going to make you president. What is the Stephen A. Smith platform to solve the crime and homelessness crisis?
Well, first of all, I did not know you dropped this on me. I certainly didn't know we were going to be talking about this, but I'm game for it.
You're
Thank
game.
You so much for having me. there is no question that a lot of these issues need to be addressed. There is no question that we should be against an extremely progressive agenda that's calling for people to be released from prison on multiple occasions, that's ignoring a lot of crime that's taking place in the streets. There is no doubt about that. Where I don't vibe with you, Jesse Waters, who I respect, is that when you talk about politicians themselves being innocent, they're not innocent in all of this. A matter of fact, in some instances, the division that exists and has existed for so long has contributed to kind of some of the nonsense that's been taking place in the streets. It doesn't excuse it. Doesn't mean it doesn't have to be addressed.
Where do we disagree? I feel like we're in agreement on everything.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, you said earlier in your great monologue the politicians or themselves were like innocent for crying
out. No, I'm not saying they're innocent. I didn't say that. Okay. I said they're acting like they're the victims when you call them out for not doing their job.
Okay, well, some of them. Actually, a lot of them deserve the criticism that they're getting. There is no doubt about that. But I would definitely be big time when it comes to addressing crime in the streets.
Okay, good.
The subway system in New York City, you're damn right I got a problem with that. Something needs to be. I'm a native of New York City.
Yeah.
I took the F and the E train all the time. I wouldn't want my family traveling on the subway right
now. Same with me, not
what
anymore.
I'm saying.
Do you take the subway anymore? I feel like you don't.
Well, I don't.
I don't.
But that's only because when you get popular and stuff like that, you try to avoid crowds.
You're too popular to take the subway.
I was in L.A., the homelessness that exists there, I got an issue with that. Certainly, when you look at Gavin Newsom and some of the policies that he's put forth, you're talking about a lot of different things that need to be addressed. I don't agree with everything, and I'm not about to pretend that I do.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen A. You finally said something that I think that I agree with you on, and that's undeniable. Crime is out of control. These Democrats are foolish. I want to play a clip from Kamala Harris because, you know, I think this lady is, I disagree with Stephen A. calling her intelligent. I don't think Kamala Harris is intelligent at all. I think she's one of the dumbest people in America in a position of leadership. I really do think she's dumb. I think that she got to the place that she's at because she did it nefariously. Let me not say that. I'm trying to be a Christian. She slept her way to the top. Can I just explain it? Willie Brown. It's out there. Go look it up. Willie Brown admitted to having an affair with her. And this is things that some women do. They use their sex in order to get themselves in a better position. And I personally think, given what Willie Brown said and kind of her, you know, lack of knowledge or whatever, it makes me feel like that she got herself to that point, not through education, hard work, and deserving to be there, but because who you mess with, you can get some leverage and get a leg up, no pun intended. Let me get to Kamala's clip, road clip two.
Consciously and affirmatively respecting that we should not, there's nothing about this movement that in any way is trying to convert people, to change people in terms of what are their deeply held beliefs as it relates to their faith.
If she say as it relates to one more time, I'm going to lose my mind and walk off the radio. This chick, the passage of time, as it relates to the passage of time, because when time passes, it passes in time, in passing time. That's what she sound like. Cackling Kamala. I mean, listen, you know, I'm very shocked that some of these people claim to be Christians or Catholics and all this other stuff, and they supporting abortions. I'll never get it. This abortion, people are pro-life, are not trying to convert anybody to do anything. They're just trying to get you not to kill your own kids. Is that too much to ask? I just want to know, is that too much to ask for a party to say, look, we want you to know that there's a better way out? We didn't need to recruit you to be pro-life or nothing like that. You can still be pro-choice and make the best choice for yourself. And the best choice for you would be not killing your kid when you found out you're pregnant. And I say this all the time, and I'll say it today. I am pro-choice and pro-life. Why you say that, Mr. Tatum? Before y'all turn the radio off, listen to me. I believe that a woman has a choice, and that choice is made in the bedroom with Tyrone or in the den with JJ. Whatever y'all doing, you make the choice right there. You don't make the choice in the clinic. That's where your choice is made, and you have that choice. 100% of the time, you have that choice. Well, I'd say 99.999% of the time, unless somebody force you through a forcible rape situation. But outside of that, you have that choice to make. And I believe life starts at conception, not your perception. So that's why I consider myself to be pro-life. And why Christians and people who are supposed to be ministers like Warnock and all these other people, why they advocate for murder is beyond me. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. This is the Officer Tatum Show. On the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me get some callers. They're calling in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Don from Dallas, Texas, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Don, welcome to the Off Tatum Show. All right, I don't think we got Don connected.
Two, three strikes, you out.
Maybe Don fell asleep behind the wheel or something. But Don's comment was that Herschel Walker's donations have doubled since all of these things have come out about him or against him. And I wouldn't be shocked, man. You know, I think people view this as an attack on Herschel Walker and not necessarily him getting exposed. I have Don. So can we bring Don back in? Don, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, thanks for being there.
My pleasure.
I think it was Fox News today or either News World. They're saying since this all came out about Herschel Walker, the donations to him have almost doubled.
That's interesting. I wonder why.
Well, the people like Herschel. I donated. I'm not very rich, so I can't put much in, but I do what I can.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Don, thank you so much for the call. You know, people, I'm just going to say, without any of the naysayers and the drama and the accusations, like, I really like Herschel. I really like Herschel. Like, he comes across as a very down-to-earth, genuine Southern guy who really cares about this country. You know, it's just very genuine. It's not superfluous. It's not like he's putting on, at least it doesn't seem like, he's putting on being somebody that he's not. It honestly seems like Herschel is just a Southern guy, down-to-earth, that just want to make a difference in the community. I don't really think he's doing it because he's narcissistic socialist. I mean, not narcissistic socialist, God forgive me. A narcissistic, selfish individual. I think he really, really, really want to see this country do better. And, you know, a person like that, I'm 100% in support of. And, you know, I'd vote for him. I'm just being real. I'd vote for him. You know, Warnock is a complete nut job. These people like that will ruin our country. And they don't deserve any kind of respect. And respect I'm not giving them. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Murder rate in America. They try to act like the murder rate in America and the crime that we have been seeing is a residual effect, or not residual effect, was 100% responsible for the COVID-19 virus of 2020. I don't think that's the case. If that's the case, then we'll see a spike in murders in 2020, and then 2021, 22 comes along, and then we should not see the same violent spikes. However, an article, according to Fox News writer, it says violent crime continues to rise across the USA, according to an annual estimate from the FBI released on Wednesday. Murders have increased 4.3% last year and rise from 22,000 to 22,900, while rapes
while rape incidents rose as well. The FBI acknowledged that violent crimes is at the very least matching the highest level since in 2020, which surged nearly 30% over 2019. Nonetheless, the violent crimes slipped slightly across the nation as a whole, falling 1% from 1.3 million incidents in 2020 to 1.31 million in 2021. 2021 rose 5% over 2019. However, it says also the FBI release comes months after the Bureau Deputy Director Paul Abbott admitted that homicides and assaults were occurring at an appalling rate in April. Now, of course, we saw a little bit of influx, and I attribute that influx to Black Lives Matter and all these crazy deranged people going out and killing and stealing and thugging. But to see the crime still rise, you know, more than 2019 is still troubling. I mean, crime is still going on. It's not necessarily because of the pandemic. It's really because of these criminals have been emboldened to do things that, you know, that they're not going to be held accountable for. I mean, even all the way to kidnapping people, unless they get caught, we're not going to find them. 844-900-7243. I got a couple people calling in, but I want to let you give a chance to come in. I don't want to have to cut you off because I'm running up against the clock, less than a minute left on the agenda. I want to make this announcement. I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be out of town, and I believe we're going to have Carl Jackson fill in for me. He's an incredible Carl Jackson. Y'all know who he is. Y'all probably know who he is before you knew who I was. But Carl is going to fill in for me. He's out there in Florida. I know he has a lot of insight on what's going on with DeSantis and the hurricane and all of the above. Hold the phone, y'all. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. All right, I got a couple people calling in. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Ben from Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm blessed. Thank you for coming on the show. Right. What you got?
I am too, sir. So I just want to say real quick, I don't want to argue, man. I just want to talk real quick. My son is a young conservative, right? I'm more of a middle guy, and I lean left. I will be real with you, right? But we love our son, and we don't be hating on him. We don't matter. You know what I mean? Because to be honest with you, obviously, most black people have conservative values. That's what we're talking about. Now, the one thing I can say is that, and he's starting to notice it too, is why is it that, okay, so you know how a liberal would be a bleeding heart liberal, and they would have a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on, and, you know, it's almost confusing and annoying, right? Why is it that if you are held high in the conservative community, that it seems as though they always talking negatively about a black person? Why is that? I don't understand it. It's like, the way that they're coming is smart, right? But it's not smart. Because somebody really wants to listen, and the people smart like me, we can listen. But if a young person is trying to listen, they're not saying anything that's going to make that person want to listen, because it's almost like they're appeasing to white folks and talking down about all the black folks, like all black folks are bad. And it's just, and maybe I'm confused. Yeah. But
yeah, Ben, I've heard this before, but I just think I heard this argument before. I just think people get very sensitive, right? I think black people get very sensitive when people talk about black people, no matter what, because people like myself, Larry Elder, Carl Jackson, we literally eviscerate white liberals on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we hold them accountable. We talk trash about them. And even people on our side that act a fool, we cut them down. We talk about them too. But the funny thing is as soon as we say something about a black person, it seems like black people get upset. Some black people get upset. Oh man, you always talking about black people. It's like, well, I talk about Nancy Pelosi every day. I talk about Joe Biden until I get dizzy. You know, but why can't I make a statement about a black person given the fact that I am black, right? People often say, when white people criticize black people, they say, well, you don't understand. You're not black. You don't know where. But then when a black man do it, people get upset and think it's wrong for a black man to have criticism of other black people. I'm not saying that's you, but I'm saying that's the way it comes across sometimes.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. But I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, everybody can teach somebody, right? And I'm just being honest with you, is that the conservative values aren't bad. Like, a lot of them, most of them make way more sense, right? But you got to remember, if they're not going into the communities, if they're not actually really looking for that vote, and then on the other side, the black conservatives that we see are doing stuff like Candace Owens does and wear a White Lives Matter t-shirt, that just, I don't understand why wearing either one of those shirts is good, black lives or white lives. So, like, it's counterproductive.
Well, I look at it like this. I think that if a person wanted to wear a shirt that says Black Lives Matter, I could not care less. A person has the freedom to express their feelings, but okay, they also have to be okay with a person wearing White Lives Matter. The problem is that people think that wearing Black Lives Matter is okay, but then if somebody wear White Lives Matter, it's a big deal and it's all crazy. It's the same thing. Well, you may not, but you know, there's a lot of people.
I'm a Christian. So at the end of the day, remember, we're talking Christian values, so they shouldn't be wearing either one. If we're going to talk negative about one, we're going to talk negative about the other one. But one of them going to be villainized, and then the other one's not. So I just don't. I understand what you're saying, though. You make a lot of sense, and I'm not trying to take up too much of your time. I'm just trying to. And last thing I'm going to say is, if Herschel Walker.
Ben, hold on a second. I got to go to break. Hold on, I'll bring you back in the next segment.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at theofficertatum.com. I want to bring in my guest. I want to bring in a caller, Ben. I kind of had cut him off on the last segment. Ben, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to let you finish your thought.
How you doing, sir? Yeah, so, no, I was just, I mean, it's pretty much the end of my thought. I mean, I just want us to have a more constructive way, especially, I mean, because I listen to you guys more than I listen to liberal radio, and I'm supposed to be a liberal, right? But I'm more of a middle guy, so I listen to everything, right? So when I see someone that, and it doesn't matter what people look like, but, you know, sometimes the way that you talk, you know, the ways you know, the things I can associate with, I can associate with your show, right? So I'm listening, and it seems as though they only put conservatives in high places, black conservatives, that talk that way. And I haven't heard any of them, like, trying to be more inclusive and say, hey, listen to these policies. It's more like, oh, yeah, in the hood, they just kill each other. And, oh, and black folks is doing this, and black folks is doing that. And it's like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, I'm in sales, and I can't go to my people and be like, oh, you do all this wrong. But, yeah, you do all this wrong. You know, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I thank you, Ben. Thank you for the call. I'm trying to understand that sentiment, because when I listen to, you know, I used to listen to people, this guy named James T. Harris. He has a show, The Conservative Circus. I listened to James T. Harris, and I used to be upset with James T. Harris because he used to always go after Barack Obama. But then when I started to consider what he was actually saying, and I begin to grow mentally from my whole mentality of I have to be a Democrat, I started to really see that, well, maybe, you know, the stuff he's saying is making sense. Now, some of it may be harsh, some of it I may not like, but is it the truth or is it not the truth? And for me, you know, what's happening is you're hearing from conservatives a response to liberals. They're out here in the ether, and all they do is complain about victimhood. Oh, the black and brown person is oppressed. The people who are in political positions on the liberal side, they're always complaining. They're always bashing white people. They're always crying about racism. They said they need to defund the police. Police are out here attacking black people. And then you hear somebody on the other side, which is in the conservative, on the conservative side as a black man, you get sick of that stuff. You say, well, God dang, all y'all do is complaining. And then, if you're a person like myself, you grew up in the black community, you see the problems that nobody wants to talk about. Because, of course, I could sit here and say, oh, yeah, everything is great. And the places where I grew up in, it wasn't great. It was horrible. You know, there was some good in the neighborhood. But when I go back and I look back at the neighborhood that I grew up in and around my whole childhood, I say, man, that I feel sorry that those people that live in that community never grew out of it. That some people that live in these inner city communities are completely lost. And the heroes and the people, like, for instance, I went to Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School in Fort Worth, Texas. Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School is named after the famous black poet Paul Lawrence Dunbar. It's a historical black high school. And what influential people do they bring to talk to us? They brought Lil Flip. And when I was young, I thought Lil Flip is a rapper. For y'all don't know, he's a rapper from Texas. But when I was younger, I thought Lil Flip was awesome. We got Lil Flip at our school. Lil Flip is not a role model. Lil Flip do not add value to our community. But that's who we celebrated. When I was growing up, people were celebrated who were drug dealers. Lil Hot Rod, everybody wanted to be like Hot Rod. He had all his money. He had all the girls. And all the young brothers wanted to be like Hot Rod. Why? Not because our fathers would tell us that Hot Rod was a good example. It's because the music that we were listening to made it seem like Hot Rod had everything going on for him. You know, so when I look at it and I say, how do we become better as a black community? How do we become better as America, Americans as a whole? We have to express or explain or exploit some of these things that are going on so we can change it and make it better. Nobody's talking about the inner city violence, which is way more detrimental than any white man could ever do. Nobody's talking about single parent homes. I mean, I'm saying nobody, but I'm saying generally speaking, which is what people like myself have to respond to, because on the news, they're not talking about this. Obama said it. I remember he said it when he was running for office. He said it and they act like it's unheard of if a Republican said it today. Fatherless homes are a big problem. Our young people having premarital sex, having children out of wedlock, it's a big problem. And it's more of a pervasive problem than we want to give it credit to. Because every black woman that I dated growing up, they all had something in common. And it's unfortunate when you look back at it, you say, how is this possible? It's not, you roll the dice and the likelihood of this happening is ever present. Every black girl that I dated, From the first girlfriend I had to the last girlfriend I had that was black, they all had one thing in common. They did not have a great relationship with their fathers. The first girl I dated, she didn't know who her dad was. The second girlfriend that I had in high school, her dad was in prison. Come to find out, her dad was in prison for raping my first girlfriend before I ever met her. He was a track and field coach, and he raped her and went to prison. So one girl didn't know her daddy. The other girl, daddy was in prison. And then I get to college. I'm in a new environment. I'm in another state. I dated a girl. She was a twin. And her and her sister didn't know their dad. They had no relationship with their father. And then there was another girl that was very, you know, we dated for just a little bit. She was very intelligent. She went to Dunbar High School with me, but she was very intelligent. She was in honors classes. She got a full scholarship to go to Texas A&M. She was a part of this elite group of black girls at our school that came from really good families, and they were very intelligent. And they soared beyond any of these other hood rat girls that we had at our school. They just soared. They were great. But still, she didn't have a great relationship with her dad. She lived with her mom. Her dad was in the picture, it appeared, but she wasn't close to her dad. They weren't in the household together. And so when these things are occurring, somebody like myself is like, when are we going to start pointing these things out? When are we going to start saying it? When are we going to start expressing this stuff so maybe we can make a change and make a difference? But, you know, some people... You know, I get it. I get it. Some people get offended. I used to be offended until I start really listening. And I say, you know what? I may not like it, but it's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Offset Show. I got a couple people calling in about the Herschel Walker situation. I want to talk to you guys about it. I think this is a pretty significant topic. You can call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Ty from Atlanta, Georgia, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes, sir, Officer Tatum. I just wanted to say with Herschel Walker, just, you know, don't believe the hype. You know, they use a lot of dirty tricks, these Democrats. And I remember there was a great man named Herman Cain, a Georgian, yeah. And he has a tremendous story of success. He's everything that the left hates because he proves all their lies to be just Marxist garbage. And they smeared him. They said he was cheating on his wife, having an affair. At the time, this man was having chemo treatment for prostate cancer, and they were accusing him. And it turned out to be a complete fraud. They were threatened by him. The same way they were threatened by Larry Elder, and they called him the white, you know, the black face of white supremacy. So, you know, when black Americans speak out and they go against the plantation to project mentality of Democrat Marxist, you know, they receive all kinds of wrath and vilification from them. And it's because, you know, you guys are speaking the truth and they can't stand that. And truth is considered hate speech now. And, you know, I live in Wokistan, you know, and when I say all lives matter, they call me a Nazi. Martin Luther King said all lives matter. Would they call him a Nazi? You know, Christ laid down his life for all lives. You know, that's the strength of the conservative movement, that it, whatever shade the good Lord made you, our values are solid and they're open to anybody. So
100% Todd, I agree with you 1,000%. Thank you for the call. I'm glad that Todd and others aren't buying into the Herschel Walker thing. You know, I think that that's a family business feud between him and his son, that they should take it up between the two of them. Whatever happened in the past, he needs to reconcile that with his child. Outside of that, they ain't got nothing to do with voting. You know what I'm saying? You better turn out and vote. And you know what's funny is that these things that are happening at the 11th hour, it's like, it's almost like a cutoff for me. It's like, I'll believe you criticize a person all the way until this point. When you 30 days out from an election, nothing that you say I'm going to consider at this point. You had 2 years. You had a whole year. You had ever since the primary to say something about Herschel Walker and to criticize him and a woman to say he made her have an abortion. You had all this time to talk about him, but you waited right before the election. It's a cutoff point for me. You just sound like a smear at this point. Clearly, anybody that criticized Herschel Walker at this point, you didn't care enough to criticize him in the primary. You wasn't so upset about his behavior early on. And now when it's crunch time and now they're about to do the vote not too long from now it's all a big problem. It's like, even if it was a problem to you, to the public it's too late. You should have came out earlier if you really was staunch on that particular viewpoint. I hope I say your name right. Is it Angelique from Colorado? Welcome to the Offset Tatum Show.
Yeah, it's so nice to talk to you. Just want to give out a shout-out to you, your wife, your older son, and your younger son. And I am so glad that you are a good father. I've heard you talk about how you're going to go to another state and make sure that other child has a good education. So, you know, if there were more strong black men like you, America itself would be doing well.
Wow, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, but, you know, I've got to be honest with you. The part that bothers me with Herschel Walker is, you know, I you've got a good heart, and you believe in redemption, and I can tell you believe in Jesus. It's not just someone going, hey, I can do bad things, and Jesus will let me get away with it. You're a real Christian. You mean it, and that's what's beautiful. And the thing, you know, sometimes your heart's a little too big. I want you to consider something that, you know, this guy, if he was sitting there speaking out against, you know, having kids out of wedlock and not being part of their lives, and he was part of their lives, like what you do, you are part of your son's lives, whether they're in another state or whether they're living with you and your wife. I love that you love your children so much. But when I saw the video of Christian Walker on the actual, I was going to say on my TV, I've got like, you know, this YouTube set on my TV. It's a new, you know, it's 2022. That young man is speaking from the heart, you know, and he's sitting there saying, hey, wait a second. My mom was a victim of domestic violence and all this happened. I do believe the character matters, because that's going to be someone. Is he true to his word? Is he good to the people around him? Is he going to take care of the people that he's supposed to represent?
Yeah, Angelique, thank you so much for the call. That's a good, analysis. I slightly take this approach as well. I say, you know, how do we know that everything that Christian said was actually true? I think it's true. He does sound very genuine, but I was born during the day, but I wasn't born yesterday. And sometimes people can be very upset about deeply rooted resentment, and they bring those things out, and they sometimes can be exaggerated or, you know, it can come to the forefront in more of a hurt filled way versus what really happened. There's videos of Herschel Walker and his son when his son was very young in high school. They're doing interviews together. So, you know, I don't really know what actually happened, because I know he had children by other women, and that was like 20 years ago. So my question to Herschel Walker, and I may just have him on if he's willing to talk about it. I know his campaign is probably sweating bullets and passing out, hoping that he never talk about it again and he escape it by the skin of his teeth. But I really think that he should explain, like, is this something that you still believe in doing? Are you still neglecting children currently? Or is this something that you did 20, 30 years ago and you regret it and you have now changed as a man? Because these accusations that Christian Walker is speaking about are things that had occurred when he was young. And to be honest, one of my friends posted this earlier. He said, man, these kids need to really stay out of grown folks' business. And to a certain degree, I do agree that, you know, what does a little kid got to do with this? You know, Christian Walker was well taken care of. It seems like he was well taken care of. His mama remarried a man that's way more successful, apparently, than Herschel Walker is. It seemed like Herschel Walker was there. I mean, you got video, you got pictures. You got Christian Walker talking about his dad and saying Happy Father's Day. And so I know how kids can sometimes get upset with another parent, or they feel like, you know, they want to take mama's side because dad may have done mom wrong in their eyes. Because she haven't come out and said anything, not that I know of. But little Christian could be very emotional about the things that have gone on when they were younger. And I can see how he can be very upset about that. But I would like to know, Herschel, like, address these things. This is what your son said. When did this happen? And are you still the same person that you were if it did happen? Did you change? And Angelique, that's what my redemption idea is that you have actually changed. If this was something he's claiming Herschel Walker did last week, then we're talking about a different story to a certain degree. Vincent from Atlanta, Georgia, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, man, I hope you come down here to Atlanta. You know, I'm not sure, but I know your coworkers are coming. But real quick, there are no perfect people running for this office, and Warnock has domestic issues himself and been arrested twice. So I met Herschel. He's decent. We all have a past. And at this point, it's like we're hanging off a cliff, and there's a hand helping us, and we're saying, no, this person has some issues in his past. I mean, this country has open borders. We have some real problems here. So we have to just pick the best person, and that is Herschel Walker, and I stand behind him.
Hey, man, Vincent, thank you so much. I hope that I can get down to ATL. I'm not sure if I'm on that part of the tour, but I'm hoping to get down there. I love Atlanta. I have one of them. I consider him to be my mentor. He lived right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Wonderful guy. I need to go see him. But I'm running out of time. If you want to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. The caller, Myron, I'll have him in next. But, Myron, your comment is extremely funny. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. On the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now. Is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Myron from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you for taking my call, the great Brandini. I just wanted to share something on Herschel Walker about the abortion. Shouldn't the liberals be out there just cheering him on? You know, like, way to go. And like I say, if he would have waited till after the baby was born and then killed it, and then would have been cheering like they were in the chambers over there, shouldn't he be a hero? Like, you know, the guy, the main dude. All I got to say is all you leftist weirdos out there, put the crack pipe down. Give yourself a minute. That's it.
Myron, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Oh, you ain't
thank you so
no
much.
Crack.
Put the crack. It's funny. Maybe Myron listen to my videos. I always say, put the crack pipe down. Y'all got to stop it. You know, the hypocrisy is out of control. Oh, Herschel Walker made a girl have an abortion. I mean, according to you, he helped. Matter of fact, it was supposedly, and she's anonymous, and there's no, I don't know if there's evidence or not. Maybe there is evidence. But regardless, he reimbursed her. So she was able to make a choice because women have choices. And choice to murder is a choice that liberals think women should have. And he actually funded or helped supplement her freedom of choice because it's her body, her choice. They should be loving him for assisting in a homicide. But because it's politically expedient, they somehow mad at him for this so-called abortion thing. And my thing is this, man. If you had a girl have an abortion, just admit it. Just say, yeah, I did that. I don't believe it was right, but I did it way back in 2009 is when it supposedly happened. It's 2022 today. But in 2009, it supposedly happened. It's the same thing. I was cutting up when I was younger. I was cutting up, man. I was cutting up. You know, I had stuff that happened to me related to that same subject matter, man. When I was younger, if a girl got pregnant when I was younger, I would have told her to have an abortion, and I wouldn't have had no shame in it. But when I got saved, thank God I didn't have to participate in any of that. But when I got saved, my whole mind changed. I thought I was like, well, wait a minute, I can't believe I ever thought that made sense. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Abortions are wrong. I don't support that. Hence, I had a kid out of wedlock in college because I didn't believe in abortion. You know, would my life have been, and I'm going to say that, my life is great, and my son is amazing. You know, I'm glad all this stuff happened. It's like things need to happen in your life that's adverse for you to grow and build. You know, me having my son out of wedlock when I was in college and going through that whole thing, it just made me a better father. You know, given the fact that I have to be an intentional father to father my son and be there for him and support him, even though his mom, me and his mom and I live in two different states. But what that also did is that when God gave me an opportunity to get married and have another child, it made me more grateful because now I get a chance with my youngest child. I get a chance to experience a lot of things I didn't get a chance to experience with my oldest son. And I'm forever grateful to God that I didn't get, you know, I wouldn't say robbed of that experience because these were the decisions that I made, but I didn't get a chance to not have those experiences in my lifespan. But God has given me an opportunity to do that. And, you know, my youngest son, you know, I talk to him every week. And I tell you, for the fathers that are out there that have kids out of state, the best thing for you to do is give them allowance, give them a cell phone, and then they have to check in with you once a week to get the allowance. They'll call you every week. My son don't miss a week calling me. He don't miss a week. And, of course, we talk often, you know, every other day, every few days. You know, he's young. He don't want to be talking on the phone with me all the time. But I got him a phone. His phone is secured. He can't text nobody. He can't go online. It's all on a parental secure plan. But, you know, I talk to my son often. He knows I'm in his life. He has a successful father that's influential, that's a leader, that loves him, that has been there from the day he was born. And hopefully he outlived me, and I'll see him in heaven. But, you know, anyway, people, things happen in your life, adversity happens, and you just have to overcome it and just admit to it. Just admit to it. If somebody said Brandon was fornicating or whatever before he got saved, yes, I was. I was crazy. I was lost. I was in the world. I'm like King David, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he up there cutting up. So, you know, regular people are cutting up. But then you have to own up to it and say, you know what? I changed. I got better. I became a better man. I realized these things when God opened my understanding. And people love that redemption story. If Herschel Walker came out and admitted to it and said, look, I'm a changed man now, he'll get 50 times the donations that he's gotten so far. But I want y'all to hold the phone. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real. Is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got a couple people calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Just in the break, we were talking about Ron DeSantis. You know, this is... It's very interesting, man, because Ron DeSantis has done a tremendous job as the governor of Florida. He's done a tremendous job, and he has an opportunity to become a leader. See, in life, different things happen unexpectedly that will elevate you and give you an opportunity for you to showcase what you've been working hard for over the years. What Ron DeSantis is doing is very similar and consistent with what we tell people in the motivational space. Is that you work hard, you do what you're supposed to do, have integrity, and luck, quote unquote, will come. You will have a break. And when that break comes, are you ready for it? And Ron DeSantis has been preparing, has been doing a really good job as the Florida governor. And now that a catastrophe has happened, this is his time to step up, you know, go hard or go home. And I think he's been doing a tremendous job showing that he's a leader. He had a press conference with Slow Mo Joe, Creepy Joe, Geriatric Joe. He had a press conference with him, and you can clearly see who's the better president. I think Ron DeSantis is leaps and bounds above Joe Biden for the president, to be the president of the United States of America, and it ain't even close. All right, I got people calling in. Lucy from Virginia, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello, I just want to say, I agree with you that this woman, she's not bright. She reminds me of when I was in school, there was those pretty girls that they got by on their looks, or their parents were the parent, the, you know, the it parent in the neighborhood or in the community, and they got by on that. She is dumber than, she's dumb. She either is not absorbing the prepping that is given to her, or she's not attending the prep. This woman has a slew of people around her that's giving her all this information. She's just not absorbing it. And she speaks with this measured tone because she knows she's prone to saying something stupid. So she's trying to sound someone has given her some pointers about, you know, how to speak, and she's measuring her words so she can sound like she's intelligent and really catch herself when she's about to say something stupid, but it's not working. That Australian reporter was very correct. She stopped the cackling. She doesn't cackle as much, but now she's trying to just measure her stuff. And the people around her staff, I'm thinking they're just woke people. They don't know history, because when she went to the Republic of Korea, she didn't say the right thing, because no one, probably her staff, don't even know history. They don't know the right history. They know woke history. And Brown was right. Everything you said is right. And Hillary's probably going to run again. And if she does, there's no way in hell, because Hillary's smart. Kamala is not smart. Hillary is smart. She's evil, but she's smart. And she is not going to stand by and let dumb Kamala just get up there and even think about running for president over her. She's going to give it another shot, and Kamala just is not going to stand a chance. She's not. The woman is just not. She's not absorbing, or she's not attending the prep, but whatever. She's just not a bright woman. And we should have. Brown told us through the media. He did say that she wasn't absorbing. You know, at the pillow talk,
Lucy,
he's sitting there talking politics, and she's. He knew that she wasn't. He wasn't. She wasn't getting it, and he told us,
right,
"Don't do this,"
right.
Because he.
Lucy, thank you so much for calling in. Sorry, I had to get to the break, but I agree with you 1,000%. She's dumber than a bag of rocks.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Busybody. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Some of y'all have no idea what Busybody is or that song. I'm not condoning hip-hop music, but that beat go hard, though. All right, let me get a couple callers in. Donovan from Atlanta, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Blessed. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I know it was yesterday. My name, obviously, Donovan. I'm active in the military right now. Listen, I'm from Atlanta. You know, Herschel Walker, I know that's like an old subject. I know there's a lot of judgment towards him, everything like that. And it's crazy to me how people can find God. You know, people change their ways, and it doesn't fit their narrative, but they just start, you know, just crucifying him whenever it's time for him to come up and do something, you know, brave and bold.
Yeah, I agree. And Donovan, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think Donovan had made mention about judgment. And, you know, I think that we as Christians have the right to judge people. We just don't have the right to condemn them. Right. You should know them by their fruits. I mean, you can judge a person whether or not you need to be involved with them, whether or not they can watch your kids, whether or not they'll be a good fit for your business. You can make judgments based on their behavior, but condemnation is the problem. Because when you say that a person can never be reconciled, or a person can never be, can never find the Lord, or they're going to go to hell, and you start saying these things that are levels of condemnation, it's impossible for you to do that because you can't condemn a man and you don't know their heart. But you can make a judgment, and I think those words may be interchanged sometimes, and I think that maybe Christians sometimes, you know, want to be nice and they say you shouldn't judge people, but it's like, yeah, you're supposed to judge people. But the condemnation part of it is where the fault is at. You know, if I was on this radio and I was talking about how many women I slept with, and I'm doing all this and this and all that, you're probably going to say, okay, Brandon is this type of person. How are you going to say that to be a Christian at the same time? I don't think that he observed Christian values. That's judgment. And it's judgment based on the factual presentation that I've presented, presentation that I have, you know, shown. And so it's fair to judge me on that. You know, if a person goes to the prison for being a pedophile, it's fair to say I don't want that person around my children. That's a judgment. You're judging them based on their stuff. But to say you're going to hell and you don't deserve to be saved by God and all that, condemnation is a no-go. Only God can judge where you're going to go ultimately. But it's up to us to be able to weed, you know, separate or at least identify the separation that's occurring between the weed and the tear. Dina from Brooklyn, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Officer Tatum. I'm thinking of Herschel Walker, and, you know, he didn't say he doesn't believe in sex. He doesn't believe in abortion, but a person can be involved in, and I'm not saying that he is, but if that woman wanted to have an abortion, whoever she is, and he didn't want her to have it, how is he going to stop her? I mean, he doesn't believe in it, maybe. He doesn't believe in it. Maybe he thinks it's a terrible thing that nobody should do this, but he could have been involved in this because he didn't say he didn't believe in sex. You know, I don't think he's a hypocrite, and I think God judges by the heart. And nobody can say what was in his heart, no matter what happened.
Yeah, 1,000%, Dina. Thank you so much for the call. You couldn't have said it better. No, you couldn't have said it better. Like, a man, let me tell you this. I mean, not unless a man is representing himself a certain way. A man can believe that sex before marriage is wrong, even though that person has had sex before marriage or is having sex before marriage. They can still believe that it's wrong and know that it's wrong. And they have been subject to it, but they know it's wrong. A person can believe that abortion is wrong, and then you have relations with a woman out of state, and then the woman go and have an abortion, and you feel bad for it because she broke now, and you didn't agree with it. You didn't want her to do it, but you reimbursed her is what the accusation was. I don't know how true it is, but you can still feel like that was the wrong thing to do, and you did it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you're a good role model and example if you are hypocritical in your statements versus your actions. But I still think, you know, they make it way out of proportion. They bloat these things way out of proportion. I know a lot of things, you know, there's sometimes where people make me so upset and I struggle with not hating them. I know that hating people is wrong, although it makes me upset enough to hate a person. But I know it's wrong. So that doesn't mean because I struggle with unforgiveness and sometimes doesn't mean I don't believe in forgiveness. And, you know, I don't know if that's a good analogy or not. I'm hoping that people can see what I'm trying to get to is that, you know, that's the point that will set you free is that if you can at least admit to the wrongdoing. The problem is if you don't think it's wrong. It's just the same thing about, and I'm going to get to relief factor in a minute, but it's the same thing about homosexuality, right? There are people who want to be Christian and they're living a homosexual lifestyle and they know that it's wrong according to the Bible and they want to pursue doing something different. Then there's those who claim to be Christian and they don't want to admit that it's wrong and they live a life doing something wrong with never admitting to the truth. The first step to recovery is admitting that you have an issue going on. And I think that God can deal with people like that and God can rescue people like that if they are open to admit that the things that they're doing or the things that they have done was actually wrong. And there's a level of repentance that can occur and you open up, you know, the possibility for God to forgive you for these things. And that's the biggest thing between Herschel Walker and this whole situation. I think it comes down to redemption, forgiveness, and admission that he was wrong.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Welcome back to the Off State Show, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear Slow Mo Joe, Creepy Joe, Geriatric Joe on a hot mic? Did y'all hear that hot mic? I want you to listen. You can hear from here. I had to blur it out because he said some cuss words. Hopefully you can make out what this fool said. So I want to play this hot mic for you guys in this last segment before I go on break. And Carl Jackson is going to fill in for me tomorrow. Don't cry. Carl Jackson has it down to a T. Some of y'all probably like Carl more than me. So you are not going to miss out tomorrow when Carl take over the show. I'll be out of town at another speaking engagement. However, roll the clip.
Thanks for everything for coming down. We appreciate it.
By the way,
you raised some
I was.
No one
there. Yeah, you got right.
And I can't argue with your brothers outside the house.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So this fool said no one F's with a Biden. That's like a dude
walking to the schoolyard and saying, nobody mess with me, and he got beat up 6 times already. You like, bro, I can name at least 6 that didn't mess with you. What are you acting tough for? You know, it's funny that old man be acting tough. Joe Biden and these people are weird to me. They live in this weird reality. Joe Biden is running around like he's tough. He can't remember where he's at half the time. He's shaking hands with ghosts. He's seeing dead people. I mean, the guy is—he's falling through the cracks, man. And it's okay though, because I didn't vote for him. That's why I call him Joe Biden, because that's y'all the one voted for him. That's Joe Biden.
And you ain't black.
See, I knew he was a racist. And y'all remember him saying that, don't you? He said, "You ain't black." And if you don't know who you're voting for, me or Donald Trump, then you ain't black. Now imagine if Donald Trump would have said that. All Donald Trump would say, what have you got to lose? And Donald Trump is a racist. He hates black people. And Biden said, you ain't even a black man if you don't vote for me. Because y'all supposed to be a monolith. How dare you think for yourself and be an individual? You black folks need to line up and go get back on the plantation. Do it now. That's pretty much what Biden is saying. And that's what the Democrats are saying. Democrats are essentially saying, listen, we don't have to do nothing for y'all. We don't have to show you nothing. All we do is tell you that the Republicans are racist and you're dumb enough to believe us every single time. This is how they feel about you. I don't feel that way about you. I love you. I know that you're going to wake up one day if you keep listening to Brandon Tatum on the radio. However, the Democrats don't believe it. They want you to stay in chains. Not the physical chains, not the rustable chains, but the chains of your mind. Being trapped in the victimhood and feeling like you can't make it in life. Because you didn't start out on top. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a lie from the pit of hell. You can start from the ground and make your way to the top if you believe in God first and you work hard. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you guys or talk to you guys on Friday. I'm out.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.